Hi, this is Jill Murphy from Pharmacy Times, and you're listening to Pharmacy Focus. The Pharmacy Times Pharmacy Focus podcast provides the latest industry news and information, thought leader insights, clinical updates, patient counseling tools, and innovative solutions for the everyday practice and business of pharmacy. We decided to do a special episode for this week where I spoke with a panel to help celebrate American Pharmacist Month. Troy Trigstad, PharmD, Executive Director at CPESN, and Pharmacy Times Editor-in-Chief, Zabina Zildzik, Pharmacy Technician Analyst at Sutter Medical Center in Sacramento, and Peyton Atkins, PharmD Candidate 2023 from the University of Kentucky, all joined me to discuss important topics happening in pharmacy, such as the role of technicians growing in the field, COVID-19's impact on their work, and what they feel the value of a pharmacist is. Enjoy, and happy American Pharmacist Month. Hi, this is Jill Murphy from Pharmacy Focus. Welcome to our American Pharmacist Month panel. I'm joined with Troy Trigstad, PharmD Executive Director at CPESN and Pharmacy Times Editor-in-Chief, Zabina Zildzik, Pharmacy Technician Analyst at Sutter Medical Center, and Peyton Atkins, PharmD Candidate 2023 from the University of Kentucky. Thank you all for joining me. I'm so glad we're having this conversation today. I wanted to just ask really quickly, how did each of you get involved in pharmacy and what initially drew you to this profession, or in your case, Peyton, study this profession?
So I always knew I wanted to eventually have a career in healthcare. Initially, I was actually interested in physical therapy, but I went through numerous injuries myself and discovered that I was not a super hands-on person. So after having many discussions with mentors and learning about the unique niche that pharmacists have within the interdisciplinary team, I was really sold on the profession. I feel like pharmacists rely heavily on critical thinking skills and being detail-oriented, which are two qualities that have always been very important to me.
And I can go ahead and go next. So my story is that when I came to the United States, I enrolled myself into community college and received associate's degree in math and physics. However, that was not helping me in life necessarily. I needed a job that can pay some bills. So I went to a counselor at school and asked if I can do anything with a piece of paper I received at home, that associate's degree. And he said, oh, you can be a pharmacy technician. And that was a long time ago when legally pharmacy technicians could have associate's degree and some type of science and receive registration in California. Pharmacy tech registration. So I took that path and got a job and been in a pharmacy technician my whole life. I did go back to school and earned other degrees. However, I stayed as a pharmacy, dedicated pharmacy technician my whole life.
Yeah. And for me, my background, first foray into interest in pharmacy, I was a pretty good runner when I was in high school and had moderate to severe asthma. Just had trouble managing it, a lot of allergy and asthma, especially in the fall, cold weather in the spring. I bounced around to different docs and different types of, I think I was put on every possible asthma medication at the time. And I sort of started to realize towards the end of high school, I had a strong interest in running in college. And I also sort of thought, you know, what I've learned about these medicines is I can bounce around from medicine to medicine, but if I just would have had somebody that really helped me understand why I was taking them and I should take them, and I was taking them for long acting control and those types of things, I would have been better off. And I thought, you know, pharmacists would be a great way to help other people like myself. And so I decided to go to Drake University, where I was able to both run and they had a pharmacy program. So that was the start of my 25-year journey, I guess, the last two decades and a half.
It's awesome, everyone. Troy, specifically for you, with your vast experience in community care, what are some things that you've seen that have changed the pharmacy field over the years for the better?
I would say some of that's internal to pharmacy, but much of the biggest progress has been external to pharmacy. So when I graduated from pharmacy school in 2002, we were still walking on eggshells as far as assessment. Vaccines was a pipe dream. And there was all this sort of genuflection going on to the rest of the care team, even though that we were very care team oriented in our training and our posture and our desire to help primary care work with other team members. It was still sort of this cultural divide. And that's really broken down a lot over the last 20 years. Some of that, again, having to do with training, more residencies being available, more folks graduating from pharmacy school that have practical training in care teams as PGY1s, PGY2s, and fellowships. But a lot of it really is owed to external changes, move to patient-centered medical home, population management, a focus on outcomes rather than professional degrees. How do people get together, individuals and care team members get together to produce outcomes? Who can produce those outcomes being much more important than sort of scope of practice alone. And then here we are with the pandemic, which is certainly not caused by pharmacists, but 70% of all vaccinations now being provided out there, non-childhood adult vaccinations are done by a pharmacist or a pharmacy technician. 70% of all vaccines at this moment in time. So the world outside really has changed a lot, I think. Particularly the pandemic has changed consumer expectations, which is the most important change. We just had a picture in the paper here in North Carolina where one of our pharmacists was giving a shot to the governor. You saw that in West Virginia, and you've seen it in other places. And when politicians can do that, that means that the political and policy culture has changed about pharmacists being service providers and on the care team. So I think that's accelerating. It's not decelerating. And we're all standing on the shoulders of brave folks at the turn of the century that had the guts to sort of say no, pharmacists or healthcare providers.
And Sabina, Troy mentioned pharmacy technicians and how you guys are helping with COVID and everything going on. What do you feel is the best part about being a pharmacy technician? And how do you see the role of the tech growing in the future as they take on more responsibility to free up pharmacists?
To tack on Troy's comments, yes, it's unbelievable that how many vaccinations are given by pharmacists and how involved pharmacists are in care. And I come from more of a hospital perspective of a pharmacy technician, and we have grown every year to get more and more responsibilities, not only what we see today with COVID, meaning pharmacy technicians giving out vaccinations in outpatient, but also in the hospital. I do see us gathering more and more clinical data for the pharmacists. That's been my job for past 12 years. Going through charts, gathering data, making sure that people, when they walk into emergency room, that they have their medications sorted out and not on duplicate therapies, alerting pharmacists of clinical issues that we might see when we're out there in hospitals or outpatient, talking to the patients as well. And I do see us doing that more and more, and I call it being more independent from the pharmacist in order to help pharmacists more. So even tech implementations, Pyxis implementations, or Omnicell, it doesn't matter which company it is, that we are the ones who design how the medications will be sorted in these dispensing machines. There has been a lot of movement and for the pharmacy technicians to be more helping pharmacists in a clinical aspect, and I think it will keep on growing. Having said all this, I do believe the pharmacy technicians do need more educational opportunities in order to be ready for these new challenges presented to them. And understanding that pharmacists are becoming more and more frontline healthcare providers, therefore they do need us as more of a research source, helping it being hand in hand with pharmacists so the patients are taken care of.
Staying educated definitely is important for all different types of profession. And Peyton, as you are in an educational standpoint right now, What has been the most rewarding part about being in pharmacy school, and how has the COVID-19 pandemic changed or enhanced your academic experience?
So I think the most rewarding part about being in pharmacy school is just seeing the hours of studying in the classroom really paying off in those application experiences. I think early on in my pharmacy career, it was super overwhelming to kind of wrap my brain around all of the medication-related knowledge that pharmacists are expected to have. But I've found that I've advanced more in the curriculum. There have been many experiences, whether it be work or rotations or other pharmacy organization events, where I've been able to apply the knowledge from the classroom in order to help enhance patient care. And that's kind of been my ultimate goal all along. As far as COVID-19, though, in the pandemic, I think it's really helped me grow as a learner. We really had to adjust our normal way of learning, which presented many challenges, but it also allowed me to kind of trial and error other study methods and alternative ways to develop as a pharmacy student. And in my working life, the pandemic also drew attention to the pharmacists being essential workers in the healthcare field, as Troy mentioned. And I was actually able to be a part of the vaccine efforts that we had here in Kentucky. We actually opened up Kroger Field, which is our football stadium here, and the pharmacists were right there on the front lines administering vaccines all across the Commonwealth here. And that's definitely a unique experience that I'm going to remember forever.
Yeah, that's seriously so awesome. And you made a good point how pharmacists are now viewed as essential workers. And Troy, I actually wanted to go back to you specifically, since I know that you have kind of seen this in the rural pharmacy realm. What's something that you wish others in pharmacy or the public knew about this field specifically from an outside perspective?
Well, as one of my mentors, Dr. Alan Dobson, I worked in patient-centered medical for 15 years before I moved over to supporting community pharmacies. He would always say, we need to preserve community pharmacy, particularly in rural areas. And one of the reasons for that is, as somebody built his own practice in a town of 1,200, for most communities in America, the healthcare system is the local EMS provider, the local primary care office, and the local pharmacy. And that's your triumvirate for any, you know, community-based healthcare system. And in rural areas, the opportunity for folks is to really play a multidisciplinary role. I think of a place like Manning, Iowa, where Manning Pharmacy, I think, is license number 3 or 4 in the state of Iowa. It's a little town, 1,000 people, critical access hospital. And there's one pharmacist at the critical access hospital, and there's Bob Stessman there at Manning Pharmacy, and they cover for each other, right? And so, you know, there's constraints and limitations and responsibilities when you're the only healthcare pharmacist in the county, essentially, right? But you also have this privilege in rural areas of really being a go-to person for a lot and having different types of relationships with that, you know, more limited other care team personnel. And so you can kind of spread your wings a little bit more. Relationships can oftentimes be more deep, and that you truly are becoming an essential critical healthcare access point. So you're really becoming a jack of all trades for that community. Rural community pharmacy practice is an amazing, not often enough told story about these communities, where if these community pharmacies went away in a lot of these communities, a big part of these communities died.
Yeah, Troy, you made a really good point about that too. And that actually makes me think about, Sabina, with technicians, is there any advice that you would tell any potential technicians that you wish you had known when you first started, even people in Troy's place or like you said in the hospital?
I do. I wish to tell pharmacy technicians that are first coming to the field right now that pharmacy is very dynamic and there are many, many changes that happen all the time. So technicians have to be prepared for these changes and not think that it's a nice, comfortable place that you can just take and that is it. There are many dynamics of the pharmacy. It's just so fast-paced and learning curve is so fast-paced, and pharmacy technicians need to be ready for that learning and new challenges coming to them. So to think, I was involved in education for a long time of pharmacy technicians, so I want to pharmacy techs to understand that when they first come out of pharmacy tech school, that the learning starts then when you first get that job, because pharmacy technicians learn mostly at the job. And classroom learning is very important. As Peyton was saying, for pharmacists, it's crucial. For pharmacy technician, it is too. However, being in the field and actually starting that work and that technical skill, it does happen at work. So I will want new pharmacy technicians to be aware of that and be patient with their own learning and new skills that they'll have to acquire when first getting into the field.
And Peyton, hearing both Troy and Sabina's experiences and their advice for other pharmacists, is there anything that you wish that you could learn that you haven't gotten to learn yet through your studies or extracurriculars at school?
So this is a great question. I think I would be really interested in learning more about the advancements in the field of pharmacy, like specifically the history of the field and kind of how we've gotten to where we are today. I know COVID obviously has kind of helped highlight the importance of pharmacists on the healthcare team, but I still believe we can improve like advocacy efforts and awareness, because there still are those individuals in the public that just have that one-dimensional view of pharmacists, you know, pill counters in the back of a community pharmacy. And although that's definitely a career path, there's so many other routes you can go. I think the profession as a whole has really come a long way. Specifically, we've seen a lot of growth that I can think of in clinical practice, as pharmacists are now members of that rounding team, and they've been a huge part overall in immunization efforts across the country. So I think exploring, you know, more care settings that would be benefited by adding a pharmacist to the team, like even potentially athletics, for example, could be a cool way to explore the needs of just adding the pharmacist to that interdisciplinary team.
Yeah, you made some great points there, Peyton. And this question I have next is more about COVID-19, and any of you could answer this for me. How has this pandemic highlighted the important work of pharmacists as frontline healthcare providers? I know some of you have kind of answered this for me, but did any of you want to add to this?
I go back to consumer expectations. Again, when governors are not only not scared of highlighting a pharmacist providing a vaccination, but perhaps it's even advantageous to them, that tells me that the public has come to now believe that pharmacies are frontline healthcare service providers, not dispensaries. And that's a really significant and important change, because most policy really comes from patient consumers. Most coverage of services doesn't come from an ROI study. It comes because patients feel like they're either missing out on a procedure or a service, or they're being harmed by not having access to it. And so consumers' belief in, hey, you know, if I have the option available to go get a COVID test or to go get my vaccines or to go get even an infusion, test and treat. Test and treat is going to be one of the long-standing inflection points, I think, because of the pandemic. If you go to Arkansas, it's going to happen in Missouri, probably Iowa and other places now with the declaration by the federal government of, yeah, sure, pharmacists can test and treat using infusions. When consumers see that, they choose pharmacies because it's convenient, trusted, accessible. They view them as competent. And so where the consumer mindset was pre-pandemic to where we're at now is probably one of the most significant advancements in pharmacy. Again, happening really kind of external to pharmacy as a stimuli more so than internal. But folks like Peyton and Sabine are the folks that are preparing for the future, because if we weren't ready to do it, right, if there weren't 60,000 pharmacies out there pre-pandemic that had most or if not all of their staff doing flu vaccinations or other types of services, we wouldn't have been able to promote and produce that scale when the opportunity arose. And so much of what Peyton's talking about, and I would encourage Peyton and others as learners to really be thinking about, how am I working with interdisciplinary care teams as part of my training? And I don't just mean other physicians. Just like with patient-centered medical home, when we start to get to outcomes, panel management, where payments going in the future, a lot of it is building the people in and around you that Sabina's now doing with her work, which is, how are we really advancing beyond pharmacy technicians? We might even have dietitians in the pharmacy, social workers, community health workers. I might be working with home health down the road, PT, OT. when you get into services, it's a whole different world than dispensing. And so what we tell our folks at CPSN is you're not a dispensary, you're a healthcare service provider that's using dispensing as a unique and advantageous way to engage a population that no other care team member can do. And to do that, you need learners to be able to interact with their staff and build them up into these new elevated roles and skill sets and interactions, not only in community pharmacy, but as you're rounding, because it becomes more and more multidisciplinary. And then, you know, on the Sabina side, really, it's what are the non-pharmacist staff leaders and roles working to build out those functions within your practice, whether that be in a traditional physician practice or a community pharmacy. All of that's now in play so that we're prepared for the next essential healthcare opportunity that comes our way.
Troy, Peyton, and Sabina, this has been an awesome conversation. I just want to ask you all one last question. And Sabina, you can start this off if you don't mind. In your own words for American Pharmacist Month, what do you feel is the value of being a pharmacist?
I think that's a big question because I've been around pharmacists my whole life. I have a lot of pharmacists in a family and I worked with pharmacists, and I cannot explain to you how important pharmacists are, not only in this country that we see with COVID-19 and everything, but everywhere else in the world. Where I come from, pharmacist job is number one job. You first go to your pharmacist. And I think to go back also to Peyton, because she's a student of pharmacy right now, that's where this whole thing started, is having people like pharmacists who can, who are very scientific, very smart, but also have a community inside them. They really want people to be well and be part of the community and help the community grow and be healthier. And I see pharmacists being involved in all kinds of fields. All the fields involve pharmacists. Even I am an avid runner, a long distance runner, and pharmacists are always involved in my running, because they're the ones that help me when I'm starting to age with my aches and pains. I go to a pharmacist. The doctors happen later, I think, for most of the community. I think not just because of COVID-19, that pharmacists are starting to be more recognized as healthcare providers. I think pharmacists have always been number one healthcare provider for our communities, because those are the people that are available to the rest of us. When we need help, we go to pharmacists first. That is at least my experience and experience of my community, that we have to have pharmacists, and they're very, very valued.
And then I think, you know, just to add, the value of being a pharmacist that I have come to learn is just having the knowledge to educate patients. I think it's not uncommon to tend to patients on both ends of that spectrum. And by that, I mean, you'll see patients that maybe have never been on any medication, and you'll see patients that have a very long, extensive list of maintenance medications. And without them understanding the purpose of these drugs and how they're being utilized to improve their health outcomes, it goes back to how Troy even said he got interested in pharmacy. It's kind of unfair of us to expect them to have an acceptable level of adherence if they don't even know why they're taking something. So I think it's crucial for us as, you know, medication experts to take the time to kind of meet patients where they're at and explain how each of their medications are, you know, going to benefit their long-term health. And these are the discussions that I think makes the difference.
And I would just close with this thought. I think pharmacy staff should all be proud of themselves for the following two reasons. Reason number one, you go back to March 13th, 14th, 15th, 2020, the entire healthcare system shut down. And if you were a patient out there and you had needs, you had one of two places to go. You could go to the ED and potentially get admitted and put on the floors, or you could go to a pharmacy and still meet with somebody face-to-face. Those were the only two healthcare entities that stayed open for most of March and much of April. There was a lot of tele-stuff that got put together, but if you want to see a healthcare provider, the only ambulatory healthcare provider you could go see in most instances was a pharmacist or a pharmacy staff person in a pharmacy, and to maintain your healthcare and your healthcare needs, pills or otherwise. The other thing I think we need to be really, really proud of is we have a long and proud history of serving the underserved. And when you look at the data, and there will be emerging studies about this, about the COVID vaccination programs, pharmacies far outperformed other types of healthcare settings and vendors and providers when it came to addressing and administering in socially vulnerable communities. This data exists at the CDC. I've seen it. Pharmacists do an amazing job getting to the underserved, multilingual, you know, the poor, the needy, the hesitant. And we should all be really, really proud of that. And I think we want to continue that culture as we move forward.
Troy, Sabina, and Peyton, thank you so much for joining me on Pharmacy Focus's first ever panel for American Pharmacists Month.